Amen. Amen. The Torah portion for today is actually the portion that includes what's known as the Shema. So I'm going to be sharing somewhat about that today, about loving Him, loving God with all of our life, with all of our being. And I hope all of us do, but certainly this will help us to understand the importance of loving God with all of our heart and soul and strength. Before, I want to read a story. This is about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was one of the great rabbis. This is after the time of Yeshua, when Rome was looking to wipe out Israel and any resemblance of Judaism from the land, and there was a Jewish revolt, and Rabbi Akiva was involved also in that Jewish revolt. And it goes like this. It's called Akiva's Last Moment. Rabbi Akiva was brought to trial, and his judge was to be his former friend, Rufus. There was no possible defense against the charges. Akiva had violated the law by offering instruction to his disciples. In other words, teaching them God's word. Akiva was found guilty and he was condemned to death. Still attended by his faithful servant, he retained his courage and his strength of mind until the very end. And the popular story tells that the Romans killed him by tearing his flesh from his living body. As he lay in unspeakable agony, he suddenly noticed the first streaks of dawn that were breaking over the eastern hills. It was the hour when the Torah required each Jewish person to pronounce the Shema. Oblivious to his surroundings, Rabbi Akiva intoned in a loud, steady voice the forbidden words of his faith, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And the Rufus, the Roman general, who superintended this horrible execution, cried out, Are you insane? Are you insensible to pain? What's wrong with you? I am neither, replied the martyr. But all my life I've been waiting for this moment when I might truly fulfill the commandment. I have always loved the Lord with all my might. I've always loved the Lord with all of my heart, but now I know that I love Him with all of my life. And repeating the verse again, he died as he reached the words, The Lord is one. The association of the Shema with this great martyr's death made its resuscitation a deathbed affirmation for all Jewish people. And to this day, the pious Jewish person hopes that when the end draws near, that he may sufficiently be conscious enough to declare the unity of God, echoing with his last breath the words found, The Lord is one. And this story leads us into today's Torah portion known as Va'etchanan from Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 through chapter 7, verse 11. And it's translated, And I pleaded. And this is the portion of Scripture where Moses pleaded with the Lord. That's why it's called, And I pleaded. Let me go over, Lord. Let me see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country and Lebanon. And we recall how the Lord told Moses that he would not be able to enter into the promised land because he struck the rock in disobedience. And within this parsha, we find the most famous and important scripture, not only to the Jewish people, but I believe to all the nations. Because even Yeshua said this is the most important commandment of them all. The scripture is so important that it's written to boldly stand out in all the Torah scrolls so that no one can overlook it. This scripture is vital for all true believers in the Messiah Yeshua because it teaches us to love Adonai, to love the Lord with all of our life. And I don't know how many of us here would truly be able to fulfill that commandment if it came down to it. If it came down to it, a matter of life and death, how many in this room here today would deny the Lord? Now, I know most of us will say, I would never deny the Lord. I would never deny the Lord. But if someone had your child right here with a gun to their head and told you to deny the Lord, could you do that? It's not so easy, is it? To love the Lord with all our heart. You know, in the Torah, the scrolls that we took out, the five books of Moses, we find 613 mitzvot, or 613 commandments. And according to Maimonides, another rabbi, in his writings known as the Mishnah Torah, these commandments, these mitzvot, are divided into 248 positive commandments. In other words, things that we should do. And 365 negative commandments, the things we should not do. However, of all these 613 commandments, the greatest and the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God. There is no commandment greater than for us to love God. All of God's Word, everything in the Scriptures, everything hangs on and depends on our obedience and our diligence in following this command to love the Lord. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. It's so easy for us here to stand up every week, face eastward, and recite the Shema. Why? You know, we know it's tradition. It's required. We pronounce even the words by heart and habit. In fact, we hardly even have to think about it. Because the words are there, we know them. They flow smoothly from our lips and fill the air. Yet, if we would just paused a minute and we reflected on and we thought about what those words really mean, what they're really saying, those words would not come out so easy. We would stumble, maybe even stammer, choking to get the words out. The words should touch the very depths of our soul, and our lips should proclaim it from the very essence of our spirit. In Deuteronomy 6:5, Moses gave the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And this was over 3,500 years ago. Yet after all these thousands of years, we don't really understand and comprehend what these words mean. To love the Lord our God with everything, with all our being. However, our faithfulness to God should not be based on a command to love Him. We should love Him because we desire to have a closer and a deeper relationship with Him and a more personal walk with the Lord. You can't command somebody to love you. God just can't say, I command you to love me. Yes, He can say it, but... And we can, in obedience, try to do that, but it's got to come from our hearts. It's got to come from within, inside here. In the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 24, Yeshua said these words, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the Talmudim, his disciples, were even more amazed, and they said to one another, "Who then can be saved?" And Yeshua looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God, because with God all things are possible." Back then, the camel was the largest animal that was found in Israel. So you have this vivid contrast between the largest animal and the smallest opening, that eye of a needle. And it represents what, humanly speaking, is impossible. It's impossible. We know that a camel can't go through an eye of a needle. And no, it's not possible for us to love God in such a way. Just as it's not possible for us on our own merit to enter the kingdom of God. And every attempt for us to enter the kingdom of God on the basis of what we do, our achievements, is of no worth. It's fruitless. Apart from God's mercy and God's grace, no one can love God with all of their being. Nobody can. It takes a move of God in and through our lives to motivate us to such a level of love for Him. To love Him with all of our being is to pronounce Him as the Lord of our lives and not to have any other gods before us. In other words, we have to put God before our families, before our jobs, before our cars, the toys that we have, before our sicknesses, before sorrows, before the pains that we go through. God must come before our carnal needs, the needs of the flesh, and before our money, and He has to come before all of our finances. We must not put any other gods before Him. We are not to serve the gods of the Egyptians or elevate anyone or anything before the Lord our God. God must be on the throne of our lives, and all other gods, including ourselves, must be dethroned. And as Yochanan, John, the immerser, said in John chapter 3, verse 30, "He must become greater, and I must become less. For the one who comes from heaven is above all." And we've got to remember that we have to become less, and God has to become more. The apostle John, the disciple of Yeshua, the one where it says Yeshua loved, said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, that love comes from God. He goes on to say, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." That love, it has to be something that comes from God. I mean, we can't fabricate it ourselves. We can't do it based on our achievements or things we do to help other people. This love that we have, it's got to be something that's built inside of us. It's got to come from God, this love here. Thank you, Lord. Yes, it's impossible on our own to love God with all of our heart, and with all of our soul and all of our strength. It's impossible. The ability to do this can only come from God's throne of mercy and grace. Because if it didn't, we could never love God. Because we would continually look at every circumstance and every situation around us. We'd see all the time all the craziness, the dangers, the fears, everything would keep us from loving God. We would see the mountains before us always and say, "We can't do it. We can't climb this mountain. It's just too big. I just can't make it." But the love that I'm talking about has to come from God. Thank you, Lord. It takes a work of the Spirit, the breath of the living God, to fill us with such love. His Ruach, His Spirit, has to draw us to Him. If we're unable to love God with all of our being, it's because we haven't experienced a personal relationship with Him through the Messiah, Yeshua. And if you're saying, "I just can't seem to love God the way that I need to. I just don't know what it is. It's because you haven't developed a relationship with Him. Maybe you know Him as God. You read about Him as God, but is He deep inside you? Does He control every thought, every move, every thing that takes place? Do you really, really know Him and have that relationship with Him? You know, in the Shema, we have two words that are used for God. We have Adonai and we have Eloheinu. Shema Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu. Two words, Adonai and Eloheinu. That Adonai is the unpronounceable name of God. That's why we say Adonai. Adonai is a replacement for really the tetragrammaton, the unpronounceable name of God. So whenever we see in Hebrew four letters, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, which is not pronounceable, we say Lord. But that Adonai that we say is that personal name of God. It represents God's attributes of mercy and grace. It's the personal God. Then we have Eloheinu, which is related to Elohim. That's the universal God of creation, and it represents God's attribute of strict justice. So why do we have both in this right next to each other? The dual usage here in this verse implies whether God deals mercifully or God deals strictly with us. In either case, and in all ways, we ought to love Him with all of our being. Thank you, Lord. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the Shema is written in the Torah scroll to boldly stand out. And we mention it every week that the last letter of the word Shema, which is a ayin, and a chad, which is a dalet. You have the ayin and the dalet. And then the Torah scrolls are always enlarged, made bigger, so you can see the last letter of Shema and the last letter of Echad. But you take the ayin and the dalet, those two words, and it means the word in Hebrew, ed, which means witness. And it also means testimony. So when we recite the Shema, we are supposed to be bearing witness and testimony to the unity and the greatness and the power of God and our love for Him. We are to proclaim it to everyone. As believers in the Messiah Yeshua, we must be a witness and proclaim the good news to a lost and a dying world. He wants us to be witnesses to these things. You know, it's part of our built-in nature for us to love God. But again, circumstances and situations and problems cause us to turn away from His love. Now, Bob could be that way, right, Bob? You could say, well, Lord, I've served You all my life, or many years. Here I've been at Disney 26 or 27 years. 27 years at Disney. Look, they're treating me like a new employee. They're putting me on third shift. Don't they know, Lord, that I've seen You there? That I've done all this for them all these years? And Lord, all the work I've done for You and worship leader and elder and all these different things, Lord. Bob could easily allow those circumstances and those situations to get the best of you. Yeah. He could say, Lord, you know, why should I even follow You anymore? You know, this is ridiculous. Lord, I'm angry, I'm upset, but yeah. But the point of this is, you know, God builds in that nature for us to love Him, but a lot of times when situations like this happens, and maybe you have a situation at home, your marriage, maybe your job, or you're struggling in finances or whatever it is, these things sometimes cause us to turn away from God's love. We allow a root of bitterness to grow in us, and we become angry with God, blaming Him for what we're going through. But that's where the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, comes in. God's Spirit indwells us with His breath of life and replaces all the hurts we have with His love, so that we're able to love Him again and again, despite the circumstances and the situations and all that we're going through. God's love is able to heal all the pain and heal all the hurt that we have. It's amazing, but it's true. Now, do you remember when you first fell in love with that very special person in your life? Do you all remember that? You can think of that? Lynn, do you remember when you fell in love with that old man back there? Yeah? It seems still fresh in your mind. And Bob and Laura, and the freshness of when we first fell in love with that very special person in our life. Now, I remember when I fell in love with this beautiful, darling woman over here, Irene. I remember I wanted to spend every possible moment with her. And we'd spend hours together every single day, either on person or on the phone. I couldn't stay away from her. She was always on my mind and always on my heart. Sometimes I wouldn't get back to my apartment till, oh my God, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, because we just wanted to be together and be dragging day after day. But the love kept me going and strong and everything. I was consumed with love for her and couldn't stand to be away from her. Being apart would hurt. And if you're still wondering out there, I still feel the same way. And I miss her so much when she's apart. So don't go away anymore. Okay? Don't. What was that? Oh, 2 weeks she's going away again. Yeah. I'm tired of junk food. But you know, this is the kind of love that we need to have for the Lord. It needs to be an all-consuming and an all-passionate love where we desire to be in God's presence as much as possible, and we long for Him with a love sickness all during the day. We need to have that same love that we want to spend with Him every moment possible. Now, King Solomon said in Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 5, he said, "For I am lovesick." The whole Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon, is a story of Solomon's love for God, but portrayed in Solomon's love for the Shulamite, his beloved. You know, there's a rabbinic or interpretation of some rabbis of Deuteronomy 6:5. It states that you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your resources. All of your resources. And these resources refer to all your money, all your property, all that you possess, all that you cherish. This command was added because there are people whose wealth is dearer to them than their own lives. We must love God no matter what material sacrifice that it requires. This implies more than just to wealth and possessions, but to anything which we closely attach ourselves to. Even that must be sacrificed when the love of God is at stake. And we can see this clearly demonstrated in the Akedah, or the story of the binding of Isaac, in Genesis chapter 22. Now, Yeshua obviously understood the full meaning of these words when He spoke to that rich young man in Mark 10. Yeshua told him in Mark 10, "One thing you lack, Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And this young man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Yeshua knew that this man did not love God with all of his resources. He was not willing to sacrifice everything for the kingdom of God. To love God with all of our life requires that we sacrifice everything for the kingdom of God and follow Yeshua no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. We read in Matthew chapter 16, starting verse 24. Then Yeshua said to his Talmudim, to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loves his life for me will find it. For what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." You know, as we love God with all of our life and all of our being, we can be assured of experiencing fullness of life in this present age and can look forward to receiving great reward when Yeshua comes in his Father's glory. I want to share another little story similar to the one that I read earlier. And this is called "The Parchment Burns, But the Letters Soar." During the Hadriatic persecution, decrees were pronounced imposing the most rigorous penalties on the observers of the Torah, and especially upon those who occupied themselves with the teaching of the Torah. Nevertheless, Hananiah ben Tehradion conscientiously followed his chosen profession. He convened public assemblies and taught the Torah. Once when he visited a friend who advised extreme caution, if not submission, saying, "My brother, I hear that you occupy yourself with the Torah, even calling assemblies together and holding the scroll of the Torah before you." And to this he replied, "Heaven will have mercy on us." So his friend became impatient on hearing this and responded, "Listen, I'm talking logic to you, and to all my arguments you answer, 'Heaven will have mercy on us?' I should not be surprised if they burned you together with the scroll." Shortly thereafter, Hananiah was arrested at a public assembly while he was teaching with the Torah scroll before him. Asked why he disregarded the imperial edict, he frankly answered, "I do as my God commands me." For this, he and his wife were condemned to death, and their daughter to degradation. His death was horrible, terrible. They wrapped him in the Torah scroll, and they poured oil all over it. And they placed it on a pyre of green brush, and they set fire to it. And wet wool was placed on his chest to prolong the agonies of death. "Woe is me," cried his daughter, "that I should see you under such terrible circumstances." And the martyr serenely replied, "I should indeed despair were I alone being burned. But since the scroll of God, his Torah, is burning with me, the power that will avenge the offense against the Torah will also avenge the offense against me." His heartbroken disciples then asked, "Master, Master, what do you see?" He answered, "I see the parchment burning while the letters of the Torah soar upward." You know, as we remain faithful to God, and love him with all of our lives and our love and our praises and prayers, we'll soar upward to God's throne of mercy and grace, and surely we will see our reward. Revelation chapter 8, verse 4 says that the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Let our lives, all of our lives here today, be a pleasing and a sweet aroma, a glorious fragrance, offering to the living and the enduring God of heaven and earth. Let it be our prayer that the Ruach HaKodesh, that the Spirit of the living God, the breath of the living God, will transform our lives, remove every hurt that we have, and enable us to truly love him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, please, I pray, show your mercy on us, your people. Lord, we have sinned before you. We have allowed other things to get in the way of our love for you and our time with you. We've allowed circumstances and situations and problems and illnesses and sufferings and lack of and so many things, Lord, to cause us to turn our eyes away and our hearts far from you. And I pray, Lord, that we truly would love you with an everlasting love, with all of our heart and our soul and our strength. And I know, Lord, that we can't do that on our own. It takes the working of your Spirit, your breath in our lives. So I pray, Lord, blow your breath upon each of your people here. Blow your breath, blow your wind, Lord. Change our hearts, O God. Change our minds, our characters, our dispositions, Lord. Help us, Lord, to love you with all of our being and not allow anything to interfere and get in the way, Lord. Fill us to overflowing that we would have a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. Lord, we love you. We say this with our lips. Lord, may it be with all of our heart. And Lord, if that day should ever come, with all of our life.